Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Withdrawal in Gaza. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It is Monday, August 4th. Glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
As its troops begin pulling back from a ground assault, Israel has announced a temporary humanitarian ceasefire against Hamas. We'll take you to Tel Aviv for an update.
An American brought to Atlanta for treatment of the deadly Ebola virus is said to be improving. A second American is being flown to the U.S. for treatment as well.
Drinking water concerns in Toledo, Ohio. Find out why even boiling the water does not help.
And Colorado voters have some decisions to make about fracking. Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Frosch in Denver on how those issues are also setting up a bitter election fight. He's here in about 20 minutes. Israel has announced its own temporary ceasefire in parts of Gaza today after pulling out many of its ground forces, a strategic pause that left open the possibility of a renewed large-scale assault on Hamas. Meanwhile, heavy fighting continued yesterday in and around Rafah, Gaza's southernmost city. We take you now to Tel Aviv and Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Mitnick, who's on the T-Mobile hotline. Joshua, what about the current truce?
That's the first ceasefire since a U.S. and United Nations ceasefire that was brokered on Friday collapsed about less than 2 hours. It was supposed to be a 72-hour ceasefire, and that collapsed. And then on Saturday evening, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu signaled that Israel was about to finish the tunnel operation, destroying the tunnels crossing underneath the border into Israel, and that Israel would be pulling back its forces from Palestinian neighborhoods in the Gaza Strip. And in fact, we've seen a steady flow of Israeli tanks, infantrymen, and bulldozers from the combat engineers coming out of the Gaza Strip in the last 2 days.
Any idea what percentage of the tunnel network has been destroyed?
Israel says that they've destroyed all of the tunnels, what they call attack tunnels, or they call them terror tunnels, dug underneath the border, and the estimates, you know, range between 30 to 36. I've heard numbers, you know, in 32. They claim that they've destroyed all of the tunnels that they know of leading into Israel. That's taken them 2 weeks to do. However, that leaves in place what Israel believes to be what they described as a metro of a subway labyrinth of tunnels that still remain underneath many Palestinian cities, underneath Gaza City, that Hamas has used as for bunkers and command centers. Those tunnels have not been destroyed.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Mitnick in Tel Aviv. All right, now there are charges that another school that was serving as a shelter was struck, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so what happened with there, do we know?
The Israeli army says that it was targeting a group of three Islamic militants riding on a motorcycle just outside the school entrance, and that attack led to at least 10 Palestinians, and probably many more who were injured. It killed 10 Palestinians who were taking shelter there. It triggered condemnation, pretty sharp condemnation throughout the world and at the State Department. The State Department saying that really that Israel, there's no excuse for launching an attack that close to a UN compound where Israel knows people are sheltering. Israel knows all of the coordinates where all the UN locations are. And Israel itself, the army itself, during this this offensive, has released video surveillance from the air showing how it takes extra precaution not to launch attacks when it knows that there are civilians in the vicinity at the point of letting a target go on its way. So it really begs the question of why the Air Force targeted those militants at that very point. The Army says it's checking into it, and it hasn't given a good explanation.
Thanks, Joshua. Wall Street Journal reporter Joshua Mitnick this morning from Tel Aviv. It's 12 minutes now after the hour. An American doctor infected with Ebola in Liberia is now being treated and monitored in the U.S. About a week after his first symptoms of Ebola were reported, 33-year-old Kent Brantley of Texas arrived in the special isolation unit at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta on Saturday. Dr. Brantley was infected while working at an Ebola treatment center operated by two U.S. faith-based organizations. Tom Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, told ABC's This Week yesterday that Dr. Brantley appears to be improving. He also spoke about containing and stopping the spread.
You find the patients, you isolate them, you find out who their contacts were, you trace the contacts, you track them every day for 21 days. If they get fever, you start that process again. You make sure there's good infection control, and you educate the community in Africa about safe burial practices.
Plans to soon bring a second American Ebola patient from Liberia to the same hospital were on schedule, at least according to the air charter company hired to do the job. The next several days will be critical for these two patients. Ebola has taken the lives of as many as 90% of those it has infected in past outbreaks in West Africa. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, why the Tea Party movement appears to be struggling to unseat Kansas Senator Pat Roberts.
As the owner of a delivery company, I have to be in constant contact with my drivers, the warehouse, and my customers. Between scheduling appointments, using GPS, and tracking orders on our smartphones and tablets, we were going way over our data limit every month. That's why I switched to T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business Plan. My company gets all the data we need without worrying about unpredictable overage charges. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change.
Welcome into a Monday. Election rules in Kansas and Arizona could prevent thousands of people in coming weeks from casting ballots in state primaries, even as the federal government allows some of them to vote in congressional races. The Wall Street Journal this morning's Jennifer Koshenka says the split system is the result of a growing battle between federal officials and a handful of states over the need to verify that a newly registered voter is a U.S. citizen.
Kansas and Arizona say the federal registration process doesn't rigorously check citizenship, so they've established their own verification systems that bar people who register using the federal system from voting this month for such offices as governor and local posts. In recent years, mostly Republican-controlled states have tightened voting rules, including requiring voters to produce photo ID, saying it prevents fraud. Democrats have countered that there are few examples of fraud at the polls and that such steps suppress the vote of groups, including minorities and women. Gordon?
Thanks, Jennifer. Several states, by the way, are closely watching a pending federal court case that has produced the unusual balloting in Kansas and Arizona. Georgia and Alabama are looking to implement proof of citizenship laws that have already passed, while lawmakers in states like South Carolina and Oklahoma have considered adding such rules. The Tea Party forces that have pressured Republican incumbents this year, we're hoping to find fertile ground in Kansas as well. Voters elsewhere have ousted GOP lawmakers in recent years in favor of more conservative newcomers. But Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein says the Tea Party has shown little force in Kansas this year, leaving 78-year-old incumbent Pat Roberts the clear favorite in tomorrow's Republican primary election. Reed, set this up.
Tuesday marks the latest effort for Tea Party insurgents to try to knock off a Republican incumbent senator. Senator Pat Roberts is trying for his fourth term in the Senate, but he's been in Washington a lot longer than that. He was in the House before that. He's been in town almost 47 years, is the charge leveled by his challenger, a radiologist named Milton Wolf, who himself, his campaign was hobbled pretty early on when it emerged that he posted to Facebook photos of some of his radiology patients and mocked them in the comments.
So what kind of push has been made behind Wolf?
Well, there's been a late push for Wolf from groups like the Senate Conservatives Fund and the Tea Party Patriots. Wolf was hurt a little bit because a lot of these Tea Party groups, third-party insurgent groups, were focused for so long on the Mississippi primary all through June that none of them really turned their attention to Kansas and Wolf's campaign until after the 4th of July holiday, leaving him with not nearly as much time as he might have liked and his folks might have liked to build a momentum against Senator Roberts.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein. So is it scramble mode now?
It is, and all the polling to this point has shown Roberts in the lead. Senator Jerry Moran, a Kansas senator who's the head of the Senate Republicans campaign arm, said on Thursday that he's not worried about the Roberts race. He doesn't think people will be up late waiting for the results, that he expects an easy victory for Roberts. But the Wolf people have correctly cited that the polls have tightened a little bit, even though there haven't been any that anyone's come up with that has shown Wolf within the margin of error or close, all that close to defeating Roberts.
Nice read. Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. At least one person is believed to have died after storms in Southern California mountain communities unleashed mudslides and flooding. Thousands of people were stranded. Ryan Beckers is with the San Bernardino County Fire Department.
We were calling folks in the Forest Falls area, letting them know, reminding them that there are rescuers on scene trying to make access, trying to connect the town, remove the debris from the road.
Some roads were completely washed out. Forecasters said flash flood warnings were in effect through early today. A second American missionary with Ebola is being flown to the U.S. for treatment today after her colleague was admitted to Atlanta's Emory University Hospital. Nancy Wright-Bull's son said his mother was still struggling, but that the family was optimistic she'd recover. Dr. Kent Brantley was reportedly improving in Emory's quarantine unit. Officials in Toledo, Ohio, were unsure when a drinking water ban would be lifted as suspected toxins from algae from Lake Erie affected water consumption for hundreds of thousands of people. Residents stripped store shelves clean of bottled water and filled up jugs at distribution sites run by the National Guard. Stock futures are trending higher this morning following a negative week for Wall Street. It all ended with that July jobs report. Asian markets closed mixed today. Crude oil futures are edging upward this morning, but oil has come down quite a bit in the past week or so, down now to just over $98 a barrel. If you are a fan of cable TV shows like Mad Men, advertisers love to get their ads in front of you, but that may not be working as they'd like. TiVo data shows that audiences of Mad Men and other popular cable shows were far more likely to watch recorded versions and then skip through the ads. Well, you may have enjoyed those Pez candy dispensers as a kid. Remember those? They're still around, and over the weekend, backers of the so-called hidden cash movement stuffed Pez devices with $100 bills and other prizes, buried them on New York City area beaches, and then put clues on Twitter for a scavenger hunt.
Wow.
I like that
idea.
That's
kind of neat. I always get concerned, though, about safety when there's money involved, right? They
really
could drop the bills out of airplanes.
Right.
Well, it always creates such chaos.
I thought you were going to say safety because somebody's going to step on a piece of plastic
and cut
their foot or something
too,
like that. But I see what you mean.
That's
you have
neat.
A frenzy of people going for the money.
Right. Everybody out there on their hands and knees digging. Well, hope they find $100. 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Thanks for being with us. Voters in Colorado are preparing to vote on multiple ballot measures related to fracking and other forms of energy development this fall. There's a deadline today to qualify measures for Colorado's November ballot. So far, three initiatives already have enough signatures. Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Frosch in Denver says it's setting up a bitter and expensive election fight. Dan, how so?
The fracking debate has been raging in Colorado for some time now. It's essentially really become the epicenter of the dispute over this drilling technique. And so what we have in Colorado is competing ballot measures, several of which would seek to limit fracking and give local governments more control over fracking in their communities. And then another measure which would say, hey, if any community does in fact try to limit fracking, then they are not going to get any oil and gas revenue from the state. So it's really become a very contentious issue out here.
There's got to be a lot of money being thrown around the state in this fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both sides have a lot of resources behind them. On the oil and gas side, you have kind of the might of the oil and gas industry in Colorado, which has really a strong backbone. You also have a lot of business leaders and, frankly, a lot of political weight as well. And then on the local control side, if you will, the side that would seek to limit oil and gas development, you have a very wealthy congressman, Jared Polis, from Boulder, who has come out in support of these measures and thrown his muscle behind them. So you really kind of have two titans going at it, if you will.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Frosch from Denver. Are local residents vocal on the issue?
Absolutely. It's a huge issue. It doesn't break down neatly along party lines. You have communities in the oil and gas fields which have become increasingly concerned about fracking close to their schools and homes and so forth. And then on the flip side, you have communities which have really welcomed the jobs and the economic boost that this sort of development has brought with it. So both sides have reasonable and strong arguments that resonate with pretty much everybody here.
Thanks, Dan. Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Frosch in Denver. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, restaurants encouraging customers to bring their guns.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning, America's first news.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday, August 4. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Our top story is a temporary truce in Gaza. Treatment for two Americans with the Ebola virus. Stranded by mudslides in California, there are drinking water concerns still in Toledo, Ohio. And on a lighter note today, what you'll find on sale in August. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. Well, some independent restaurant owners around the country are rolling out the red carpet for customers who carry guns. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Ashby Jones. Ashby, small number at this point.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not a huge number, but it does seem like an increasing number of restaurateurs across the country are saying, you know, sort of in opposition to the number of chains that have said, ask patrons not to bring guns in. They're saying, no, guns are welcome here. Please bring them in. In some instances, we'll give you a discount if you can show us that you're carrying a weapon on your person, et cetera. So it's just a little bit of a rearguard action, I think, where that, you know, being pushed and dreamed up by folks that really, believe in the Second Amendment and believe strongly in it and are real fans of firearms.
Some of these places are even holding firearm-themed nights.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, one restaurant actually is having it has a, what they call a Second Amendment Wednesday, in which they invite people to come in and bring their weapons, openly carry their weapons to the restaurant, and they get 10% off. And apparently, this has been a big hit for the period of time that they've been doing it. I think for several months now.
Is this really a sound business move for these restaurant owners?
Absolutely, it makes sense. I think that there are in certain parts of the country, you know, there are there's a lot of enthusiasm surrounding guns and the issue of guns, and I think that a lot of gun owners, rightly or wrongly, feel like they are, you know, under attack, under siege, etc., and they're always happy to support some place that feels to them like a kindred spirit. So I think that these restaurants are experiencing a little bit of a jump in business because of these new policies.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal legal affairs reporter Ashby Jones. You have some other examples of restaurants around the nation doing this?
Yeah, and I mean, everybody's doing sort of slightly different things. We have mentioned a pizza place down in Virginia Beach that gives 15% off to anybody who actually brings a weapon into the store or can show that they have a concealed carry permit, which, of course, is a license to carry a concealed weapon. You have a bar and grill out in a town called Rifle, Colorado, ironically called Rifle. The bar, the waitresses have guns on their holsters, real live guns, and they encourage people to bring in their guns. You've got a restaurant up in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is the one we mentioned earlier, which has the Second Amendment Wednesdays. So there are a lot of different variations on the theme, but they're all, you know, basically, you know, very sort of openly saying guns are welcome here, bring them in, and in some instances we'll give you 10-15% off your food purchase if you do bring them in.
So what are the gun control folks saying about all this?
You're serving alcohol at some places and encouraging people to come in and bring their guns, and people view that as a combustible mix. The people who are sponsoring these gun-themed events and gun-themed restaurants say that they don't serve alcohol to people who have guns, but I do think that in some instances they probably are serving alcohol to people who have concealed weapons on their persons. So, you know, that is an issue out there that I think you know, that where people really sort of see things in starkly opposite ways.
Thanks, Ashby. Wall Street Journal reporter Ashby Jones. 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. By the way, quick reminder to check out the new WSJ radio app. It brings the latest episodes of this program and all your favorite Wall Street Journal radio shows to your fingertips. Also, while you're visiting the App Store, you might want to take note of the new MarketWatch Radio Network app as well, available for iPhone and iPad. Trying to keep up with your workload when you're constantly out of the office for meetings can seem impossible. That's why millions of professionals use Citrix GoToMeeting. Meet with clients, coworkers, even new prospects without having to leave your desk, saving you time so you can get more work done. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone from any computer, tablet, or smartphone. Talk face-to-face with HD video conferencing while sharing screens to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and presentations in real time. Schedule meetings in advance or meet on the fly without the unnecessary time and expense of travel. GoToMeeting allows you to work smarter, more efficiently, and take more control of your time and resources. Try GoToMeeting today and see how it can make a difference for your business. Don't wait. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. Hey, glad you're with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line, no hassles. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Then print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, even plain paper, and hand it to your mail carrier. There's no guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's stamps.com. Enter WSJ. Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin is here now with a look at some of the stories we are following.
Gordon, Toledo, Ohio residents will have to wait a little bit longer to drink out of the tap as tests conducted by both the state and the EPA showed high levels of toxins in two neighborhoods in Ohio's fourth largest city. People in southeastern Michigan were also told to avoid drinking tap water. Toledo officials believe the toxin is likely from algae on Lake Erie. Meanwhile, one person is dead, cars are submerged, and thousands were stranded in Southern California by heavy thunderstorms over the weekend. And we continue to keep an eye on the Gaza Strip as Israel pulled out most of its ground forces over the weekend. Gina will have more on all of today's top stories with America's First News coming up. And Gordon, you may have heard it is vacation time in Washington as Congress has adjourned for August recess. It's been a rough year for our elected officials, and many of them will use this time to get some R&R. With that in mind, Politico has put together a helpful list of do's and don'ts so that nobody gets themselves into trouble right before midterm elections. After all, one awkward beach photo could spell political doom. And we'll get to
truth.
That. We'll get to specifics on that coming
right.
up. But number one on the list, keep your downtime on the down low. Former House Majority Leader Eric Cantor's stunning primary loss. He was dinged for, among other things, spending too much time in the Hamptons.
Should have stayed in his district a little while longer. That might have helped.
That might have helped him. Consider a staycation. Congressman Elliot Engel of New York would probably love a family getaway this summer, but he's the ranking member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And given the current spate of international crises, a real vacation is looking unlikely.
All right.
Number three, Politico says, carry your own bags. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's recent excursion to Italy drew some scrutiny given his populist credentials, but he and his aides did their best to signal that their trip was in line with his supporters' values, informing everyone that he and his family flew coach and that the mayor hauled around his own luggage.
Wow, he did. That's impressive.
Now, do you actually believe that?
Dragged around his own luggage. Really?
I don't know.
His aides have to point that out.
Right, exactly. Got to make sure everybody knows. Remember, he also shovels his own snow too.
Yes.
If you remember that from this past winter.
Right.
And number four, watch out for the cameras. John Kerry, you know, now the Secretary of State, was the 2004 Democratic nominee for president, challenging George W. Bush. When footage of Kerry windsurfing off of Nantucket emerged, the Bush campaign saw it as the perfect image for a campaign ad that decried Kerry as a wealthy waffler on key policy issues, with a narrator saying, "John Kerry, whichever way the wind blows."
Ouch.
Do you remember that?
I remember that one.
So be careful when you're out there on the beach. Probably not a good idea to be outside at all, really, to be honest. Or if you're going to be, maybe go out on the deck or something, but you know, with some sunglasses on. But don't do anything that's going to look bad.
Seems the environment can be so nasty right now. You could just be walking into a grocery store.
Yeah.
Somebody could just develop something about you.
Well, right now,
with a nasty caption of some kind.
Right now, just going on vacation is bad, really, for most of Congress. Most people in Congress even can't get away with that. So if you're going to do it, like they say in this Politico story, do it on the down low.
Right. You know, all the grief President Obama has taken for these golf trips, too.
Yeah.
If you are a Democrat, say, who golfs, you could be linked to that.
Exactly.
It just never ends, it seems, in this environment. It is not safe. Thanks, Mike. 14 minutes now before the hour. On the Wall Street Journal this morning. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com. Glad you're with us. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by La Quinta. La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of everything so you can take care of business. Book now at LQ.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-LQ. The government is getting closer to banning cell phone calls on airplanes. Airlines, meanwhile, are pressing for the final decision to be left to them. The Department of Transportation is developing what's called a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking for publication in December that would lay out its objections to passengers making and receiving calls. It would open the issue for further comments by the industry and travelers until February before making a final ruling. Regulators are focused primarily on the disruptive effects of voice calls rather than texting or other data use. You'll recall last year they loosened restrictions that now allow you to use electronic devices for these purposes. And how about this? Aero Mobile Communications, which provides in-flight mobile services for 13 overseas airlines, says most of its users stick to texting and downloading data. Only 20% of its usage is for calls, and most of those last less than 2 minutes. So there is some courtesy being shown on planes for those who take phone calls. It is 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. An American mission worker infected with Ebola was reportedly being flown today to Atlanta's Emory University Hospital. Its infectious disease unit is one of a few in the U.S. equipped to treat people exposed to the deadly virus. Dr. Jay Varkey addressed those worried about bringing Ebola into the U.S. after another aid worker has been treated there already.
It is one of our neighbors. It's somebody's parent. It's somebody's son, somebody's sibling. He needs our help, and we're going to try and help him.
And he spoke with Sky News. One of the nation's largest Blue Cross Blue Shield plans says that it will stop covering a procedure that's done with a gynecological surgical tool that can spread cancer within the body. Highmark, with millions of customers in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Delaware, says that coverage will stop September 1st. Strong earthquake in southern China kills at least 367 people, injured more than 1,800. About 12,000 homes collapsed after that earthquake with a magnitude of 6.1. Israeli airstrike reportedly killed a militant leader in Gaza today, hours ahead of an expected 7-hour truce announced by Israel, meant to open a humanitarian window for aid. The Israeli military said the ceasefire would not apply to areas where troops were still operating and where they would respond to attacks. This week brings an update on the services part of our economy. PNC's Gus Fauché.
I expect to see another solid number. The index was at 56 in June. Anything above 50 indicates expansion. I'd expect to see a slight improvement there for July.
U.S. stock futures are looking pretty healthy on this Monday morning. Overseas, Asian markets were mixed. Lots of interest here from consumers, apparently, but HBO so far has no plans to offer an online version of its service to people who are not pay TV subscribers overseas. HBO is taking a different approach. Tiger Woods pulled out of WGC Bridgestone in Akron. Rory McIlroy won by 2 strokes. And by the way, Sergio Garcia hit a shot that knocked the diamond right out of a woman's ring. Thankfully, the stone was found and the woman got the ball autographed.
Very nice. he could have afforded, by the way, to buy her a new one.
Yes.
Since for his second place finish, I think he picked up about $900,000 yesterday. Not bad for number two.
Not too bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine trying to find a stone in the rough? I guess there were a lot of jokes about the fact that it was...
I can imagine. Everybody on your knees. Yeah. Start looking around. Very good. Thank you, Gina. 6 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, what you'll find on sale this month.
I own a growing company, and predictable monthly expenses make it easier to run my business. That's why I switched to the T-Mobile Simple Choice for Business plan. We get unlimited data with no overage charges, all in America's fastest 4G LTE network. Now it doesn't matter how much data my team needs every month. My bill stays the same. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change. Fastest 4G LTE based on download speeds. See T-Mobile.com for details.
If you have kids in school like me, you probably consider August the time for back-to-school bargains, but you still need to do a little homework.
Really keep in mind that they want to shop with what's on ad and stock up on those items, and you should check with the state for tax discounts and or no tax days, shopping days, for different weekends throughout the month.
Jeanette Pavini, who writes the Best Buys column for MarketWatch, says, speaking of back to school, it's also a good time to purchase books.
Being that bookstores these days kind of sell much more than just books, they're really clearing their shelves to make room for more holiday types of promotions and merchandise and fall merchandise. So your bargain book sections are going to be pretty great this time of year.
How about this? Another thing you'll find discounted this month, an eye exam.
You could get really good discounts, especially for people under the age of 18. You could find some really good kind of back-to-school specials on eye exam and that type of thing.
At Sears Optical, people 18 and under get free lenses with the purchase of a frame, plus $20 off select frames. Many warehouse stores have an optometry department on site, too. Another way to save, get your eyes examined at an optometry school. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.